There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. What is the point? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? The point. What is the point of it all? How do you find the point? What is the point? Today's date is the 2nd of September, another Tuesday night in the year of 2014, and it's just about 1 minute and 52 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. Remember, every day now we lose about 45 to 70 seconds of sunlight. Every day is getting shorter. We're going into fall, even though it's just the 2nd of September. That is the point of that. But what's the point of tonight's show? Tonight's point is going to be very harsh, very absolute, right to the point, where the rubber meets the road, where the metal meets the meat, whatever kind of metaphor you want to make out of it, we're getting to the point. The tip of it all. And we're going to start with the most poignant of points in Scripture, Genesis. What was the point of the punishment of Adam and Eve, the serpent? Because they took their eye off the ball. They got distracted by a tree. They were even warned about this tree and its fruit. They literally were 24/7 in the Garden of Eden walking with Christ, which meant that every part of their existence, every part of their heart and mind was filled with grace. That's what the Garden of Eden was grace. And what was their punishment but to be distracted from grace? Not to lose it, not to have it literally taken away, but to be busy, so busy with concerns of the flesh and of the world, that there wouldn't be time for grace. That Adam and Eve and the serpent's minds would be so involved with each other and entangled in so many dramas and issues and so much of a busy mind and heart that when they woke up, yesterday's and today's and tomorrow's events crowded grace out. That's the point. Because that's also the point of your life, my life, Jim's life. It's the point of somebody's life as you travel the thoroughfares of your city tomorrow. When a stranger passes you by in their car and you give them just a moment's glance, you'll never see them again, you don't know anything about them, their point is your point, our point. The point is, where is grace in your life? How is there even room for it? How much time do you even avail yourself to have an open heart and an open mind. Because frankly, Jim, last week's broadcast, I did the calculations on what organized religion and the hours and the days and it's literally only 0.5% of our lives are spent in quote-unquote worship in organized religion. And looking back with that, that is the point of tonight's broadcast. That literally means that 99.5% of our existence has nothing to do with Christ, with the math that we used in last week's show. And if you missed last week's show, which is dated the 26th of August, 2014, perhaps you may want to visit the archives page.
I think that'd be a good show to listen to over again.
And listen, because that also is the point.
Right. Yeah, I like your opening, and I'm with you on that. Think about the opportunity that people have to either give God their time and their energy or give the world their time and their energy. Well, this is a huge problem, and the more folks, the more I grow, the more that I'm working with this and seeing God's grace and beginning to experience God myself in a greater way, I'll be honest with you, the more that you see how wrong that most people, their lives are, and I'll include myself in that as well, how wrong we've grown up with a mindset that is not accurate.
It really wasn't fun before the show, was it?
No.
For you?
No, it wasn't. I had to laugh in order to deal with it.
Yeah, you asked and I answered.
Yeah.
I knew, you notice how quiet I was. I didn't make any jokes. I didn't eat any of the chip and dip. I knew that the information that you asked and that I was, you know, the stuff I was telling you, I knew that it was going to, you know.
Well, we get emails along this line too. So it's not just some of the things that I am experiencing. There's a lot of people that are experiencing this where you really are, with everything you know, you're endeavoring to give your heart to the Lord. You're seeking Him. You're praying. You're fasting. You're doing whatever is necessary to have God in your life as much as you possibly can. And you still find yourself coming up short. You still find yourself not exactly where you need to be. Maybe God's voice isn't real to you yet. Maybe recognizing His anointing or the grace of God on your life isn't real to you yet. It's possible there's some out there that you're beginning to see the beginning steps of recognizing that God really is involved with your life. And yet you need to continue so that you can begin to have Him in a greater measure, where God is more and more real to you, where things just don't have to work in a prayer. They're just always working. Wouldn't that be nice? In other words, get past needing to pray for something to where just hanging out with the Lord, things begin to change. Things begin to work. I'm beginning to experience some of that myself in small measures. I'd like to increase that myself. And so tonight when we were talking, there was definitely a real solemnness to the things that we were saying because, and we're going to give you scripture tonight, and I trust that it will come together for you like it did for me, where you really begin to see, wow, look at how that works. We really are very still messed up in the way that we do life, the importance or the value that we put on things that really don't have importance. This is a really, really strong message tonight. We're going to get into it a little bit more, but I'd like to see people tonight send in emails and send in text messages. It seems like the last few weeks we've been pulling people's arms, so to speak, to get those. And we do get some here and we get some there from some of the faithful listeners. But especially if you're tuning in tonight, you've never listened to the show before, without a doubt, let us know with the things that you hear, what you're feeling, write it down and send us an email or a text and BJ will tell you how to do that.
All right, the way that you text the show is real easy. You just, the first word that you type in your text message has to be the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. That's the first word that you type in your text message is you type the word grace. Then after you type the word grace, then you type whatever your question or comment or hello may be, whatever you want to hear on the show, or if you don't want it on the show, after the word grace, say, don't read out loud. And then when you press send and it asks for a number, it's just 5 digits, 69302. That's 69302. If you want to send an email, it's the name of the radio show. No capital letters, no spaces. You just write one long word in small case, the abiding presence. Then the at sign. And then it's Gmail. The letter G is in grandma's gravy, gmail.com. That's the abiding presence at gmail.com. The email address and how you text the show are laid out on the contact page of the Abiding Presence website. So send us emails and send us some text messages. There you go.
Sounds good. Okay, I'm going to read something here from James, and it's in the Message Bible, chapter 4. I think this will be a real good entrance into saying more of the things that we started from the beginning. It says, where do you think all this appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happened? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He is a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin, purify your inner life, quit playing the field, hit rock bottom, cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Well, I think that's a really good passage of Scripture, maybe one we haven't majored on in religious services on a regular basis, but this is very, very telling, especially to our service tonight and to our time that we have in here with you. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. You remember that's what it says in the New King James Version. But do you get this here where he says, if you'll draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. If you'll draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Something that we talked about, BJ, before was, and we've said this in different ways of saying it before, grace is everywhere. Grace doesn't come to you. You go to grace.
Right.
That's what repentance is all about, which is the change of directions.
One of the things that organized religion does, and a lot of people suffer from, and it's very hard for them to recognize, and it's even harder for them to get past, is they look at things from a worldly flesh perspective, because that's what they were taught to do as children. And believe it or not, the overwhelming majority of the people whose prayers aren't answered is because they want grace to fit their lives. They don't want to fit the life of grace.
Right.
They're doing it just completely
the
backwards.
Opposite. Yeah.
And what I mean by backwards is, look at their and tonight, remember, tonight's favorite word that we're going to say is point. Folks, look at the point of this evening's show, the 2nd of September, 2014. Tonight's point of the show is everywhere in the Bible. When Jesus met the buddies that followed him around, his little posse, his little gang, Jesus' gang, he didn't say, go home and settle your affairs. He literally just said, drop your nets, drop your tools, follow me, come
right,
with me.
Right.
There was no go home and pack some socks and underwear and a sweater or bring some beer money. No, it was, the point was, is to literally walk away from their entire existence. Their family, their friends, their job, the town they lived in. Everything that they knew to be real and important to them, he literally said, turn your back on it. Look at what happened to Job. He lost everything, but he stayed the course. And look at the crucifixion of Jesus. He got beat up. He was nailed to a fence post. He was sent to hell for 3 days. And all this to prove that it wasn't about his life or the physical pain or the embarrassment or the shame that quite possibly he might have felt or others. It was about stay the course.
Yeah.
It was about set all this aside because the reward is with your Father in heaven. That's the point. Look at Moses. He literally just told his brother, it's all on you, bro. I'm done. There is one main point all through Scripture, and it is a very simple point. That to acknowledge grace is fine. To see grace randomly, well, that just verifies that there is a God.
Right.
But to really enjoy grace, drown in grace, embrace grace, and to experience grace doing things for you, it literally means that it has to be the one and only thing that you acknowledge that is real. Because if you don't acknowledge that grace is the only thing that's real to you, then how could you ever acknowledge Christ?
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Right. Well, isn't this where Jesus in Matthew 6 was trying to give us those thoughts? And I'll go there in just a few moments. But he was trying to give us those thoughts to let go of everything that you think is important of the world and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the things that are necessary for your life will be added unto you. And he made the comment in there, he said, the Gentiles are the ones that seek after things. But he wanted his people to be the ones that would seek after him, that would put him first. And this is exactly the point that we're trying to make, folks. Maybe, because we're getting emails, you know, that question some of this, that ask the questions. How come something bad has happened? How come some things aren't working like they should be? You know, we're trying to get rid of everything that's of the world and of the flesh. Well, again, it has to do with matter of importance. It has to be.
Well, if you look at Jesus and what he did, I mean, he didn't care about how his own town and everybody that he knew disallowed him, said, oh, they just blew him off. Jesus never healed anybody and handed him a little business card that said, hey, tell your buddies where you got this. He never said, tell people where you got this and who I am. He never said that. He would literally send people on their way who couldn't see. They'd say, well, I can't see. And he'd say, go home. Because he knew that it was an individual's choice. It was an individual's relationship. And that it was about the person's relationship with his Father. It wasn't. Jesus walked by people that were starving. Jesus walked past people that were dying. Jesus walked past people that had no sense of anything other than trying to survive the day. But yet he knew unless they could set this aside, unless they knew there was something bigger, better, and more loving than themselves and their current state of affairs, it was on them. The gift of God is free will choice to enjoy and use and enhance the grace we're born with. Where in there is there a sales pitch? Where in that equation does it leave room for anyone or anything else other than God?
Yeah, I'm I look back at, and some of you folks that have been around, let's say, religious circles, you'll understand what I'm getting ready to say here, but I look back at some of the past moves and waves of God back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, you know, when there were healing revivals and there were healing revivalists raised up who had all kinds of wonderful things taking place, and the power of God was definitely extremely evident. Well, if you study their lives, you'll see that there is something that's very common, a common thread for their lives, that all of them had some time or another an earth-shaking experience with God that basically revolutionized their life, that turned everything around from the direction that they were going into the direction that they headed in, where they were working miracles, setting people free, doing all kinds of works of grace. Well, Jesus had that in the River Jordan, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you follow these men's lives, you'll see that as they became more and more successful, then the hindrance was placed in front of them that their success would actually become the downfall, where they'd begin to mix and mingle more with the world the more successful they came. And at that point, they begin to decrease in the power of God. In fact, Matthew and chapter 6, verse 24 said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or in other words, God and money, or God in this world, society.
Well, see, mammon is a lot more than money. Money is just one grain of sand in a bucket of sand. Mammon covers everything from family to friends to relatives to jobs to crops to pets to illness to disease. It mammon is basically a description, overall broad stroke description, is anything of the flesh or the world. That's what mammon really means.
Or you could say anything that came as a result of the fall, the punishment.
Anything that someone puts before Christ.
As real and important.
As tangible.
As real and important.
As a priority.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it sounds simplistic, but it's really true. If you really believe in Christ and you really believe in grace and you really believe that he has your best interests at heart, and the more that you are with God and the more you're with the guys and the more you enjoy grace, what possibly justification do you have to put anything before that? The fact that there's a list is almost an insult in itself.
So when you see in the 33rd verse and 34th verse, I'll read this, and then you can comment. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And those are the words of Jesus.
Well, he pretty much just said what I did, only a lot more graciously and officially. But the point is the same. What there's no, if no matter how you rationalize it, no matter how you justify it, no matter how you prioritize it, whatever it is just plain ridiculous. Because you're literally saying in no uncertain terms, because remember, everything about Christ is absolute. If you don't have any limits and you don't have any boundaries, and all of our sins are forgiven, and everybody is born with grace, and everybody has the same equal advantage and disadvantage to go to heaven or hell, well, then you literally have to say, what could you possibly create or participate in or care about that would put your relationship with God in second place? What could it be? What would you, what could it possibly be that important?
Well, there's a common thread with everybody in the Bible, isn't there?
That's the point. That's the point we're talking about. It's not friendly, it's not nice, but it is extremely helpful and handy.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Folks, I hope hopefully you're feeling the weightiness of this subject, because it really goes against everything that we pretty well think is important in life. And the way that the message has been articulated in modern religion, to make importance out of things that really have no importance compared to one thing, and that is whether or not you're connected with God, whether or not he's real.
Well, let's put it in simpler terms for people to understand. It never happened to me because, well, I never respected authority figures, and I'd never listened to adults anyways. But most of you are parents, and most of you were a lot nicer as kids as I am. But look at it this way. Your daughter, your son, your niece, your nephew, your cousin, whatever. You got a kid, okay? A kid that's young, that doesn't even have a driver's license yet. And they tell you that they want to watch this television show, but it's past their bedtime. And all their friends are going to watch this television show, and if they don't get to watch this television show, they're just going to die. Because they won't know what their friends are talking about, and they'll be embarrassed, and it'll kill them, and they just won't be able to go to school tomorrow, because it'll make them sound like a baby, because they didn't watch the television show that all their friends watched. Another example, if they don't get to go to the concert, all their friends are going, and if they don't get to go, then it's going to make people think bad of them. They have to go, because if not, they'll never live it down. If you don't let them go on this field trip, if you don't let them go, if you don't give them this money, if you don't let them put these kind of tires and rims on their car, right, they'll be too embarrassed to drive it. Their life will be over. If you don't buy them this certain brand name of tennis shoe, they'll be humiliated. They'll be considered a loser. Their life will be over. Because as a child, as an infant, these things seem catastrophic,
right,
all important.
Right.
They literally might as well commit suicide if they don't get these things, because they see it as such a large thing in their lives.
Right.
But as an adult, you see it as a one-hour TV show, a two-hour concert. You see it as a pair of shoes that they're going to grow out of in 6 months, that they probably won't even wear that much anyways. And you, because you see more of the world, you have matured, you have aged, you see so far above what the life they're living in, because they're children.
Right.
And what they think is important really isn't. Oh my gosh, I got a D on this homework assignment. I just can't go to school tomorrow. I can't tell my friends I got a D. I'll have to tell them I got a B. I don't want anybody to know I got a D. And it's a catastrophic event. A bad haircut, even though their hair grows really fast. A pimple on their nose, and they want to stay home from school until the pimple is gone. As an adult, you see these things as ridiculous.
Right.
You see them as simplistic and temporary, because you are light years older and experience life, and you know how temporary and how superficial these things are. Now, look at yourself. You're 30, you're 40, you're 60, you're 70. As far as Christ is concerned, you're still a child. You're worried about vacations and car payments and house payments and friendships and relationships and clothing and what your friends will think. And you're still a child to God. There's scripture that says, when I was a child, I did childish things, and then I grew up. They're talking about the point that you have to become a spirit being to enjoy grace, so that you can be one with the Holy Spirit.
There has to be a time when you put childish things away. And if Scripture says, don't worry about where you sleep, where what you eat, where you live, don't worry about tomorrow, let the worries of the day take care of themselves, does that not sound like an adult telling a child it's only a TV show? You'll get over it. You can watch it online tomorrow. They're repeating it next week. That's what Scripture says to us as adults.
Right.
All the sins that we are forgiven are the things that we think are priorities. Did that make any sense?
Yeah, it did. I'm looking at that Scripture right now. It says in the 11th verse of 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
And look what people did in Scripture. They put aside their family, their careers, their lifestyles, their reality, to follow Jesus, to enjoy grace. They literally set aside what they thought was tangible and real.
Right.
But in retrospect, you'd say that's nothing compared to what happened and they accomplished with grace when they had a relationship with the guys.
Yeah. I think back to a story in the Old Testament here, 2 Kings in chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2, it says here, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Well, this didn't happen just once. It goes on to even say here, the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel came out in verse 3 to Elisha, and they said to him, do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? And he said, I know, keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. And he went on to say that the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho said to Elisha the same thing. Do you not know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? He said, yes, I know. Keep silent. And Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. Well, get what's taking place here. Each time, Elijah is acting like he's trying to get rid of Elisha. But it's the persistence of Elisha to put away everything that is important. And you can see what's important right here. As surely as my soul lives. In other words, this is as important as whether or not I take another breath. That I'm going to consecrate myself to one principle. I'm not going to leave his side. Now, if we turn that around today to us and to Christ or to the Lord, look at how easy it is to be distracted in today's life, in today's society. I have this to do, I have that to do, but this is really important. I'll get to that later, and then possibly later never comes. It usually doesn't. So if this is how we do because we're so busy, let's just say with chores at home, picking something up, I'll get to that later, and then we come home and we're busy, we're tired, and we forget about it. And the next day, the parent has to say, well, did you forget something? Or a husband or wife has to say, did you leave that there on the chair? I thought you were going to get that last night. Oh, I meant to get that. I guess I just got distracted. Well, if that's how most people live their lives with what they can see, now do you see the struggle that presents itself with what you can't see? That people, for the most part, don't even know that there is grace to embrace fully and completely so that they find God in a very real way. What's happening on the show? Do we got any listeners?
Well,
usually by now we got one or two, right?
Yeah, we've got one or two. We don't have a lot. But we get a few more coming on board. Folks, we want to hear from you. We want you to know if you understand what the point of tonight's show is, because it's a point in all of our lives. Email the show at theabidingpresence@gmail.com. That's theabidingpresence@gmail.com. To send a text, the first word is the word grace, and then you send it to this 5-digit number, 69302. Because it really, I mean, the point of the point is, Jim, no matter how much money you tithe, how well you dress, how well you're groomed, how much good you do around the community, what religious organization you belong to, that really is not the point.
No.
It literally has nothing to do with your relationship with grace.
Right.
That's the point.
Right. Right. And can't you see here that the biggest thing that we're dealing with is the attitude? Because that's in that first scripture I read in James. Now, I read it out of the Message Bible. Maybe I should read a couple of that out of, maybe I should read a little bit of that out of the King James here, New King James. Let me do that right here, folks. I just pulled it up. It said, where do the wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Well, that was the part that I wanted to give you in the New King James. You ask, but you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasures. It means wrong motives. Wrong intentions. It means God's not first in your life. You're just using him as the person to get you your goods. In other words, I want a healing, I just don't really want to spend time with you. Or I want some money, but no, I don't really want to hang out with you. Just using God for what you need. You see, there's a motive, and that motive is wrong if we look at the benefits of God that way. Because everything about Scripture is an individual having a very real relationship with God, and the benefits just come very naturally or normally. They're not have to be worked for. All the work that we put into getting a healing shows us that we must not be real connected with the healer. All the work that we put in getting a sound mind, what it must be that we're not accepting that we have the mind of Christ. You see, it has to work this way where it's like a teeter-totter. What you're not experiencing in life shows you where your affections and attentions really are. This is part of what is a very sad message here tonight, because it really speaks volumes to what people are giving their time and their efforts to. And that's the reason why you shared at the top of the hour, BJ, about the numbers game and how that there's only, did you say, 0.5%?
It's a little less than 0.5%.
Well, that's just unbelievable when you think about a person's lifespan.
If you walked into any building or structure, any religious organization, and you told them, you just took a chalkboard and a calculator, and you did the math, and then you turned around and you looked at them and said, now does anybody have any questions why prayers aren't answered and there's so much pain and suffering and turmoil in your life? How does this math work out to show having a commitment to even prioritizing Christ as first in your life? They'd throw you out, they'd get mad, some would cry, and a very small percentage would smile and say thanks.
Right, they get it.
This is what I get. Yeah. This is what I need.
You know, folks, I have to interject something here, because right now there's some people out there that are listening to this and thinking, well, you know, all you guys are doing is just heaping condemnation on people with a legalistic manner of, you've got to do the right thing, you've got to walk right, you've got to be perfect in everything you do.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
It's not at all what we're talking about, folks. In fact, my definition is this, BJ, and then I want yours. I think this is a real important part of the show right here. My definition is this. Because there's so much talk about the finished work of Jesus, let me share with you how this fits in. It's what Jesus did and his finished work that gives you such a position with the grace of God to make simple decisions to enjoy it. That's what we're talking about. This isn't about legalism. It's not about being perfect. It's about making choices, because whether you know it or not, if you were to say 100 times, it's all about the finished work of Jesus, after you're done 100 times saying that, you're going to have to make a choice on how you're going to respond to life.
One of the problems that people have is what they think is perfect and what they think is righteous isn't.
That's good.
That's the problem. They're trying, they feel they have to work and achieve something that the world considers as perfect and righteous that is just plain ludicrous. I mean, frankly, in our conversations before the show,
right,
and the way I talk to the people that work on the ranch, do I seem to edit any foul language out of the conversation? What would be considered bad language?
Usually not.
And you've heard me talk to the guys, and it would be considered blasphemy and colorful, wouldn't it?
At times, yes.
And it works. It doesn't seem to get in the way.
Doesn't seem to.
Dirty clothes, unshaven, as I am right now. It doesn't seem to be the point.
The point is more about the thoughts and feelings and emotions, isn't it? Where your energy is going.
Look at Paul's letters. When he wrote his most profound, most poignant letters, he was a prisoner in jail. He didn't look good. He didn't smell good. He wasn't doing good as far as society was concerned. He
right.
was in jail.
Right.
There wasn't anything about Paul's life or his circumstances or behavior that was really socially or at the time realistically intangible as pleasant. But yet, grace made sure his letters and notes were delivered. And then he had pen and paper to do it. It isn't that people's priorities are necessarily wrong. It's, as far as Christ is concerned, they aren't priorities and they don't even belong on the list because there is no list.
Well, that's one of the things.
The only time that a list for human beings was
right.
created was in Genesis.
Right. Well, that's part of what was very real before the show while we were talking. Is that very point. And folks, I hope that you got that. The whole idea of lists and priorities concerning things of this world came as a result of the punishment. So that means what? If we figure that out, and this is really good info, good revelation, when you look at Adam and Eve, they chose to be independent of God. They chose to go their own way. They chose to have to make their own decisions instead of just to enjoy what was presented for them, what was available to them. That was where their free will would actually be worked the best. Not as robots, but as just accepting the wonderful love and the grace that was provided for them in the garden. But they chose to have their own way to do it according to their own style. And what did they get for a punishment? Nothing but drama. Nothing but lists and earthly and worldly priorities, fleshly realities.
Right. We got some emails finally.
Good.
I hope we get more. It says, this is Ed in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm enjoying the show tonight. It's very good. I recently went for a physical and was informed that my prostate readings were 2 to 3 times higher than normal.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. I've never had a prostate exam. Because I know how they're done, and there are certain parts of me that are one-way traffic only.
Okay, that
sums it up, doesn't it?
That sums it up.
As far as I know, grace, this is a no issue. However, at my doctor's persistence request and for peace sake with my family, I've scheduled a biopsy. Well, see, here you go.
Right. Goes right along the line of the show.
I guess if I were sitting with you guys face to face, you'd tell me I'm not trusting grace. Truth is, I'm getting out of the way as best as possible, such as the show tonight. I'd love to have your input on my issue. Please don't spare your words. Thanks. God bless. Okay, well, first of all, you don't have to worry about trusting grace because
you've literally closed the door on grace. You don't have to worry, Ed, about trusting grace because, frankly, your actions and your thoughts and your plan and the information you're going on leaves no room for grace. There is no grace. You've literally closed the door to it, and it's out of the equation. So don't worry about trusting it, because as far as your choices, your decision-making, and the way you're living your life as it comes to this point and this concern is, there is no grace. You've literally said thanks, but no thanks. And remember that your friends and family and your doctor have absolutely no say whether you go to heaven or hell. Your friends, your family, and your doctor have no input, no influence, no decision-making power, no voting, no veto rights on whether you have a conversation with the guys. I'm being as absolute and harsh as I can be.
I wanted to add this to you, Ed, and that is, you know, when a lot of times, and I don't know this situation with your family and all, and the influence that's coming, but most of the time, influence becomes real and very difficult when an individual doesn't have their mind made up, where there isn't something that's very concrete. In other words, is it possible the reason why your family is so into having you go for your biopsy and go the doctor's way is because there wasn't enough conviction inside your own soul to convince them that everything is perfectly fine? I know exactly what I have. There's no need for me to be concerned about this. God's got my back 100%, and this is what I'm doing. You know, if there's not enough of a made-up mind, that's where family and friends, you open the door for people's opinions.
I like the way you say that, because that's really true. If somebody doesn't want to do something, they can't be forced to do it.
No.
And if somebody wants to really do something, you can't stop them from doing it.
Right.
And what I find is when people say things like, to appease my wife, to keep peace in the house, to keep the waters still and not to rock the boat, what they're really telling me is they're weak.
Right.
That they really don't believe in what they're doing, or they're too weak to stand. Because frankly, I believe this. I started saying this when I was in the last year or two of high school. Morals, principles, and values only mean something when it is nothing but turmoil and strife to stand by them. I mean, if you really believe in something, the only time that your belief really has tangibility is when it is a sacrifice. It's a pain in the rear pockets to stand by that belief and point.
Right.
Because otherwise, it's just lip service.
It's the same thing as saying that strength is when you have an opportunity to do what is wrong, but you choose to do what is right.
Yeah.
And I was going to say this, the stronger the conviction, the less chance there is or room there is for an interpretation.
A brave person isn't someone that doesn't recognize danger and a life-threatening situation. That's an idiot or a fool. A brave person is someone that realizes that their life is at risk and they're in a dangerous situation, and they put that fear aside to do what they believe is right or what needs to be done. That's bravery.
Now, in the words of a preacher 100 or more years ago, more than 100 years ago, 150 years ago, he said, real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you cannot go back. See, that's what we just got through saying.
You know, there was, during World War II, after the Blitzkrieg fall of Poland, and there was many opportunities for Jews in Germany and other Western European countries. They could have survived if they would have taken off their whatever, you know, is it the Star of David, whatever it's called, that Jewish insignia star-looking thing. If they would have thrown those away,
gotten rid of their Torah because they looked like everybody else. They spoke the same language as everybody else. They could have easily turned their backs on their religion and faith, and they wouldn't have been put in concentration camps.
Right.
The people that were put in concentration camps, the reason they were put in concentration camps is because they would not, they wouldn't throw away their faith.
That's correct.
They wouldn't throw away what they believed to be true. They were committed. They had conviction.
I like that. I think this verse of scripture is going to go with it, and then whatever else you got. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and listen to this here, verse 12 through, I think it's probably 17. It says, "You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections." And see, that's where your heart and mind is open to something at all times. And if it's not open to God, it's open to something else. "Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their people, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will revive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." This speaks to the separation between what is and what's not. In other words, he could say there, what fellowship does sickness have with health? What fellowship does mental anguish have with mental stability? You see, one is of God, one is of the world, and there has to be a separation.
We got one email here. It just says, "Ouch, laugh out loud." I guess that means we're on point. Okay, we got some emails here. We got one that says, "Hi, Jim, BJ, Ranger, and all the listeners. I get it. This is what I need. Thanks." This comes from Catherine. She lives in Canada.
Okay.
Ontario, I believe.
All right.
And then we have another one here. It says, "Hi, Ranger, BJ, and Jim. Driving through Statesville tonight. Shout out to Forklift Nick. All the new listeners, and especially shout out to my grandson on his third birthday." Does that mean his grandson's listening?
Maybe so. That's cool.
It says, "Perfect poignant points tonight. Thank you, Jim, for your transparency in your personal journey. And thank you, BJ, for cutting through the sugar coating that is typically where absolute should be."
Oh,
you guys are helping.
He cut through?
Yeah, apparently. I guess usually I sugarcoat things.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess I don't.
Tonight, you're really on point.
I guess I should talk more plainer.
Yeah.
Because other than tonight, the other 200 shows was just covered like potatoes and gravy.
Right.
You guys are helping us hold ourselves to a higher standard of where we put our attention by speaking the truth in love. Actually, it's not a higher standard.
No, it's the standard.
It's the only standard.
Yeah.
Or think of it as a different standard, something to choose.
Okay, so here's my question to all of you.
That's breakfast ed.
Right. Here's my question to all of you.
I don't think he likes me very much.
No, Ed does. He does.
No, he's always against me.
No, I don't think so. He's a pretty funny guy, so he's probably just ribbing you a little. Okay, so here's my question to you guys out there listening. What we're doing, And please listen carefully here. What we're doing is holding the Word of God accountable to itself. We're sharing with you the absolutes of God's Word. For everyone that just loves the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, and I'm certainly not against it by any means, read it all the time and enjoy reading it. This is the Word. This is accuracy. And we're holding it to its place of accuracy instead of letting it get watered down, because everything about the Bible is supposed to allow you to have good and wonderful experiences with God.
Okay, we got one here. It says, "Hi, guys, this is Ed again. I don't want to shut the door on grace.
I want the door open and I want it now as I fight back tears. Great. Now I've made him cry. See, I told you he doesn't like me. It says, yes, Jim, that's my problem. I'm not strong enough. I didn't think of it that way. I didn't make my statement and mine harshly clear enough. I got the point. Thanks, guys. I will stand by the conviction and I will have grace in my life. So,
Stand by that conviction because that's what's in your heart. Don't stand by the conviction because that's what we said. Stand by it because that's what you say. Because when the push comes to shove, it's all about what you and your connection mean to you.
And Ed, if you're really driving right now, what you need to do is you need to pull over to the side of the road, leave your headlights on, turn your four-way flashers on, and just get out of your car, walk around your car, hop, jump up and down a couple times, take a deep breath, and then go back to your car, and for a split second, turn the four-way flashers off, turn the headlights off, and look up and see if you see stars. Because if you can see stars in that moment that you see stars in the quiet of the evening and the coolness of the night, then that's grace.
And then why wouldn't all of that PSA or whatever those levels are, why wouldn't they all be normal right now?
And when you get back in your car, no, that's a different Ed. Breakfast Ed and Ed in Florida are two different Eds. We got two Eds.
No, I know that. I thought you were talking to Florida Ed.
No, I'm talking to Breakfast Ed.
Oh, okay.
And I think I am. I better check the messages.
Okay, sorry.
We got our Eds mixed up.
You know what? It felt to me a little bit like you were playing the shell game with me. I didn't know where the P was.
No, I think we're talking to Breakfast Ed.
Okay.
I really do. And then when you get back in your car, you should feel a great weight off your shoulders. Because if you have to pull over to the side of the road and recognize grace and see that grace is there, then grace is with you in the car and you can relax and enjoy your ride.
Yeah.
But we got a couple more emails here. It says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, listening in and appreciate the topic tonight about distractions from enjoying grace. It seems to me that people can't see what's real because they're focused on a virtual reality that feels so real it must be important. Thank you to be aware of the truth now. This comes from Tim Yokely.
And then, that's Breakfast Tim.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have another one here. It says, I'm curious, do either of you have a scripture reading regiment?
Regiment?
This is Chris. This is from the same person that said ouch and then laughed out loud.
Oh.
Well.
I better answer that.
Yeah. Jim, take it away. You answer first, then I'll answer.
Yeah, I'll answer that.
I've already answered. But go ahead.
You have. I helped you too. You know, my answer is not going to be too much better than BJ's, which is no, I don't have a regimen. I just fellowship with the Word, and I have at least two different ways of reading it. One, because something is sticking out in my mind, so I'm going to my Bible program, looking something up, and then getting into the Scriptures to find a word, find a thought, and just run some trails on that so that I can learn something. Or number two, and I'll just be honest, I read a lot. Most of the time when I'm reading, I read the Message Bible because it just reads really well for me. And I find that it has a lot being said that is all about relationship, the way the words are. And so number two, I just read and there's no regiment. Sometimes I read a whole lot in one day and sometimes I don't read as much in one day. But I'm constantly aware of God and fellowshipping with Him. That's the number one important part.
Okay. The prostate and the doctors and then the crying, the tears, that's Ed in Florida.
Okay.
So it's not Breakfast Ed.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so. In fact, look at what Breakfast Ed sent me.
What'd he send you on your text? It says, what's it say?
Laugh out loud, the odds of two Eds.
What are, laugh out loud, two Eds. What are the odds?
Yeah.
No, I went back and looked at the emails and looked at the email addresses.
Okay.
So yeah, we got okay. Then we got another one from another Ed. It says the first and third emails were from a different Ed. Well, thanks. Whatever Ed that is, I figured that out, so we're on track. All right, we got one here. It says, BJ and Jim, wow, the lump in my throat is big, and that's with me just hearing this over the airwaves. I can't imagine having been in the crowds as Jesus walked and talked these truths. I would have fainted for sure. Thank you for going out on the limb as you do so well. This is from Keisha in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I like Keisha.
All right, so I'm making them cry, making them fall down and faint, have seizures. No wonder we don't have any
lumps,
listeners.
Lumps in the throat.
Lumps in the throat. I'm choking them. Doing God's work, I am. Just making everybody.
Well, you know what? One of the points, and you made this on Breakfast Ed, what he wrote, one of the points is that this isn't abnormal. This is what we're sharing here. So the more absolute the thoughts get, the more they go counterproductive to the world. And the more they seem to be special. But they're not. They're just starting to get normal.
Remember you asked me a question. How did you ask that question? Because my answer was, I could care less. What was that? How did you ask that question?
About what?
Sorry. About other people and their relationship and what they were doing, remember? Was it the
I said how do you balance the whole idea of the fact that there is a labor unto rest. So we are working to enter into the rest with the fact that we're putting too much energy in trying to have something which says we don't have it. And your comeback.
Well, you asked me, you says how do I handle that with other people?
With other people, right.
And I said, well, actually, the more time I spend with the guys and the closer I become to the guys,
the less you care.
I says, I could care less at this point. I don't care because it's none of my business. And then I went on to say, because if I start to worry about whether someone sees grace, accepts grace, if someone has a conversation with the guys or they don't, or what they're doing is wrong or right. Well, at that point, then I take my eyes off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked in the last couple of shows about what judging really means.
Right.
I've judged a lot of horse shows, and I've judged a few 4-H show cattle. When I'm judging a horse show, I'm looking at the person, their attitude, whether their smile, their clothes are clean, how they fit, how they move, how they react to their horse, how their horse reacts, what their horse does. Do they follow my instructions to ride along the rail or to park or to dismount or how they answer my questions when asked questions? So when I am judging them and their horse, I am all about them. It's all about everything to do with them, what they're doing and how they're doing it and how it's reflected and also the people around them. That means that, and when I'm judging them, I have no idea how I look, what I'm saying, because I'm focused on them. So when you take the time to worry about someone else, even if it's a loved one, or a family friend, or your best friend or coworker, at some point you have to mature and realize that their beliefs and their choices are on them, because your choices and your beliefs are on you. Because that is the point. And to understand that you have to have a relationship with the guys. That not only seeing grace and recognizing grace, that isn't enjoying grace. Because the real testimony of a quote-unquote Christian is exactly that. I see grace, I know grace, I enjoy grace, I use grace, and grace does everything for me.
Right.
I'm living in the righteousness of Christ. Because how can you do that if you have time vested in someone else's personal relationship? How does that work? How would that work in anything? Have you ever tried to take someone fishing or bowling? Have you ever tried to enjoy a game of cards or enjoy a board game when you're so busy trying to teach someone else? It's no fun watching your favorite television show when you have to press pause or press the mute button to give them all the backstory because they've never seen the television show before.
Right, right. Yeah, that's difficult.
Well, if you're reading a book and you've only got three chapters to go, you don't want to take the time to tell somebody. You'll say, oh, it's a great book, read it. They ask you questions, and you say, well, that will be answered three chapters into the book.
Mm-hmm.
If you can understand these analogies and metaphors, then why would they not apply even more so in a more powerful way when it comes to your soul and your relationship with the guys?
You know, and I used to take, when the girls were small, I used to take the girls with me to go play golf, and we'd go play nine holes or something, and they'd sit in the cart, strap themselves into the cart. They couldn't wait till they get to the halfway house to get something to drink and get some cookies. But when I would do that, I would have to play totally with a different mindset, which was, it's not about score. It's just about having fun out there, because half the time they'd be asking me questions in my backswing, and you know, you'd hit a really bad shot or something, but as long as you just didn't care about the score and just went out just to have fun, it didn't bother you. But what does that say? Well, it's about the relationship with God, like you were talking about. This isn't, you know, just fun and games, even though thank God it is fun to be with the Lord. It's a very serious thing for you to enjoy God, especially with all the distractions that are out there. And this is the reason why in that verse that I quoted you in verse 17, it says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. If we were to look at that through the eyes of a love relationship, then what that would be saying is, if you really love me, make decisions to spend time with me. And in fact, if you think about it, guys, you know, the moment you set your heart's affection on one particular gal and start to go out with her, if you're saying that you like her, but you never spend any time with her, the message gets across real fast. So if your decisions end up becoming more for her than they are for, say, the guys, more for her than they are some of the things that you normally did, what does it begin to speak of? That you're making simple choices that foster or enhance a relationship. And that's everything to do with the relationship with Christ. Do we have any more emails or text messages?
We do. We haven't, you know what? Not one text.
Wow.
I tried it. It works. If you want to text the show, the first word that you type is the word grace. And then you send it to this five-digit number, 69300.
Some of you need to send a text in, because Ranger has a very cool message for you tonight. She had a very busy day.
All right. We got another one here from Chris. It says, when you mess up, or maybe you have a period of worry, or you give in to worry, or any example of failure or faithfulness, and then you feel bad about it, you feel as if you failed and you disappointed God and yourself, like you let the guys down. I know the answer is repent. What is the process of repentance? How do you repent? In the old school, it was confess and repent and you're forgiven. I realize that's erroneous, but what guidelines would you give to get rid if that condemnation and feel his presence and favor again, and not beat yourself up for days or weeks? Well, first of all, when you mess up and you have a period of worry and you give in to worry, and then you example failure or faithfulness,
and then you feel bad about it, that's what the term all sins are forgiven really means.
Sure it is.
It goes to exactly those types of feelings, thoughts, and actions. Because once you realize that those are distractions and that all your sins, past, present, and future, those thoughts, those feelings are forgiven and they're understood, well, then that helps you to repent, to go a different direction. Because if they're forgiven and they're understood, well, then there's nothing to feel bad about, and you can just step the other direction, and you're on your way.
Well,
and then you can say, thank you, Grace, for the forgiveness, and you're on your way. That's how I would answer that.
Well, I like the word you said, step, because repentance is not about swiveling your head back and forth, holding on to the world, holding on to God, and you just swivel your head to whatever's convenient. Repentance is about changing your direction and then forward progress in a new direction that heads towards Christ. So, first things first. Romans 8 and verse 1 can't be more clear. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. It means there's no condemnation. So, period. So this isn't about sinning to your heart's content and just enjoying life and singing, you know, whistling a little song. No, there is a godly sorrow that moves you to repentance. And that godly sorrow is just simply the recognition and acknowledgement that what just took place is not who you are. That's not a spirit being. That's a flesh being. That's not who you are. That's not the direction you want to be heading in. Those aren't the kind of results that you want. And you recognize that God, your Father, loves you enough to have forgiven you, but you have to repent. You acknowledge that and you turn in a different direction and you begin walking toward Him. That's where grace is, where you're moving toward Him and He's moving toward you. Remember, if you draw nigh to God or you draw near to God, He draws near to you. Grace is everywhere. It's not about grace coming to you. It's about you going to grace.
All right. Remember, folks, we got emails and text messages. The way you do that, it's on the contacts page. Now, with this being about the point,
right?
I'm wondering how many people are starting to look at things differently. We know that we've got two Eds, and Keisha, and Chris, and a Tim. So, folks, we've got about 31, 32 minutes left of the show. So it's time to start reaching out to us and let us know if you understand what the point is. Now, remember, folks, those of you who've logged on, we've had a few people join us over the last 10 to 15 minutes.
Good.
And so the point that we're talking about tonight is how much of our lives are pointless, and that the priority list that we have and the standard we try to reach and the bar that we try to leap over are false. And you remember that one scripture in the book you wrote about, don't worry about, read that again. Where is that? I want you to read it in the King James and then also the other version.
Okay, well, it's Matthew. And it says here, Matthew 6, it says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read that out of the Message Bible, and it reads like this. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax and to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, Don't worry about what's missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Don't you really like that? That's good. Put those together. That's good, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah. I like this, folks, when it says here, what I'm trying to do is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. You know, the Message Bible over in Romans and chapter 8 and Romans chapter 5 is tremendous passages right there that speak to all of this. But it says in there that people are preoccupied with trying to do more and redoubling their efforts. But it's not about redoubling your efforts. It's about embracing what the Holy Spirit or what grace is doing for you. And the more preoccupied you are with self, the less occupied you can be with God. And God doesn't like being ignored. That's what it says over there in Romans chapter 8. And so putting these thoughts together, can you not see? He's just trying to completely revamp your whole reality system. What's real to you? And what's important to you? And the moment you change what's important so that God is first and first of importance, that's when grace is able to help you with all the minuscule things of this life. BJ, tomorrow night, I want to talk about that because I know that there's some listeners here that are looking in at the live stream for the library. And tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I'll be at the library here in Tulsa, and we'll be live streaming on my Facebook page, and it'll be a message on what is reality, and this is the Bible study that we have. Please join us tomorrow night. We should have all the little innuendos of our live streaming fixed. I know there's some things that have been taken care of here. You know, BJ, some of these shows, and you know what I'm talking about, just like Live 365, it has... what are they? Advertisements or, remember how Live 365, you'd be listening to it and all of a sudden an announcement or an advertisement would come on?
Yeah, it took me a while to get those taken off.
Right, well, we're finally getting these taken off what we're using for the live stream. So we should be doing better as of tomorrow night.
Well, it just makes it cleaner.
Yeah, you don't have an interruption.
Yeah. We got some emails here. We got one. This comes from someone named Barbara. It said, we planned on going to the state fair last Friday at dinner time. Well, noon. She put noon. Friday morning, it was pouring rain, and when we were supposed to leave the house, it was pouring rain. Windshield wipes at full tilt. We headed for the fairgrounds. I asked Grace for a three-hour window of clear skies because we were going to enjoy the fair. When we arrived at the fair, the sky cleared and we had nice weather until we were heading out of the fairgrounds. We ended up with the nice weather for longer than I had asked, but my husband asked why I didn't ask for nice weather for the whole day. I responded I didn't want to be selfish because some people might be in need of rain. Well, where did she get that from? Good for you. Good. And then it says, also, we took our daughter to college a couple of weeks ago. When she was reviewing her semester invoice, she noticed that the university had awarded her with a higher academic scholarship than they had initially offered. How about that?
It's nice.
It is.
Real nice.
So that's a nice email showing about Grace. And we got another one here. It says, you can tell very easily when ministers, teachers, etc. are speaking by the Spirit or by the flesh, or if you know Grace, you can tell when they are speaking by a religious spirit or even a familiar spirit. And you guys are very on, especially this evening. Don't stop doing what you're doing. That comes from Chris. And We've done good with emails. I don't know what the deal with text messages.
Yeah. And you've tested it from your phone?
Well, I tested it at the beginning of the show, yeah.
My mom needs to text us. If you're listening, Mom, give us a text so that we can just have one or an email.
Does she really listen anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
She's good and having fun?
She is.
Did you talk to your mom about canning food?
I brought up at the library, I was making some comments about canning and stuff, you know, and
yeah.
And the girls are just looking at each other and at Aaron like, what in the world is he talking about, canning? And so anyhow, I brought that up, that we're going to have to learn how to can. And so my mom knows how to can.
And what did Aaron think, your wife?
She kind of rolled her eyes, I think, at me.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, your house looks like a page out of a magazine. It's not real comfy.
Well, it's comfortable.
Yeah, I guess, if that's what you're used to.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
I can't imagine what Aaron would do if I walked in your house after doing firewood or after doing chores. Or today when I did chores and firewood and it was raining.
Yeah, well, you'd probably have to take off everything outside.
Everything, yeah. 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 And you really think she's going to let me walk in the house naked?
No.
So why didn't you just say, I can't come in? No. It would have been easier if you just sort of said, you wouldn't be allowed in our home. Because she wouldn't let me in with clothes on. She wouldn't let me in without clothes.
Well, we have a vacuum outside. We could vacuum you off.
Yeah, if it was a shop vac for wet or dry,
We do. We do. We got that. No, I like
you. Do you really vacuum yourselves before you go in your house?
No. No, but I'm usually not that dirty. But I have done weed eating where I'm just filthy, and then, of course, I've got to roll up my pants probably because it'll get all over the place. I liked your air the other day. The air compressor thing.
Oh, and you were helping with wood?
I got to get one of those, yeah, because we were just full of sawdust.
I told you to go to Walmart.
Oh, I know.
Or go to some store, Home Depot, Lowe's.
I will.
And for like $150, you could get – they come as a kit. They've got a cut. They got like 20 feet of hose. They've got an air chuck for blowing up tires.
Will it be as strong as yours out there?
That's all that one is.
Oh.
We go through air compressors because I've strapped that to the back of a four-wheeler before when we've been baling hay. So, I like the smaller ones because anybody can carry them. And,
well, that'll blow up a tire, won't it?
Yeah. Some tires, like the tractor tires, even though they take like 15 pounds of air, they're taller than a refrigerator. See, it's 15 pounds, but it's 15 pounds in a large area. So it takes a while for that to, catch up.
Mm-hmm.
We've got text messages.
Whoa.
Great show tonight from Rice Lake, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's nice. That's a first.
Yep. And then we got another one. It says, as usual, great truth coming forth. And we've got two more emails here. It says, the first one says, oh, it's business card Bob.
Okay, Bob Mendito.
Yeah, how'd you know business card Bob was Bob Mendito?
I know that.
Broker of record manager. C-21 Van Sickle Golden Post. What is that? Is he a real estate guy? Is he an attorney?
Real estate.
Okay. It says, hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Business card Bob from New Jersey. Really good tonight. Grace is absolute. No gray, just black and white. Thanks for your boldness and honesty. Keep it coming. Jim, looking forward to seeing you in October. Are you going to New Jersey in October?
I am. Yeah, around the, 21st, 2nd. No, about 25th or 6th, I think it is, on a weekend.
We got another text that says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, I'm listening, as I always do, and enjoy all the listeners' emails that add to the show. Who would that be?
I don't know.
We don't know who it is, because we don't see text messages, we don't know. But it says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, I'm listening, as I always do.
That's my mom, I'm sure.
And enjoy all the listeners' emails that add to the show.
Sure, that's my mom.
How do you know it's your mom?
Because, you were asking, does she still listen? I'm listening as I always do, I'm sure.
That means I have to trust you.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. That's been, I trusted you to bring things from New Jersey that never hit the ranch.
No, I brought them because it was duct taped. Remember?
You know, the only way I could ever get anything from New Jersey
I
is if it's...
I couldn't get anything out of it. It was duct taped.
Yeah. All right, we got one here. It says
that's how bad it is that people actually believe you, and then they'll duct tape something just to keep Jim, who steals all your candy, from stealing your candy.
I think it's a great step forward in your relationship with the guys that you finally admit that you steal candy from me.
Oh, gee whiz.
Remember, the first step is to recognize your sins.
Here we go.
And that you repent, which means that you actually deliver snacks and fine foods meant for BJ. There you go.
Okay.
It says, hi again, Jim, BJ, Ranger, and everyone. An example of grace helping me is this. I had ordered new carpet. The delivery and installation was delayed a week until tomorrow. Late last week, the building I work at decided to clean carpets and wax floors. They decided to close tomorrow and Thursday, and I was told to work from home. I can be here for the carpet installation without using any vacation time. I have not been able to figure out how to sign onto Jim's Facebook page. I used to be able to find the live feed through the Ustream app. Last week, it wasn't available. Texts don't seem to work from Canada. This is from Catherine in Ontario, Pickering, Ontario, Canada. Okay, she's to sign in on Jim's Facebook page, you just have to have a Facebook page of your own, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, you should be able to find it. In fact, go where you went tomorrow first. First and foremost, go like you did last week, and I'm sure you'll be there because we had some problems last week. That's why you didn't find it.
Okay, so that was good to say.
Yeah,
that was important. All right. So we are caught up on emails. We're caught up on text messages. Remember, folks, there's still time to email the show. It's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, .com, gmail.com. And text messages, three text messages. And the way you text the show is the first word that you type has to be the word grace. You have to type grace, G-R-A-C-E. First word that you type has to be grace, and then you send it to 69302. Now, we don't know who sends texts. We don't know names or anything, and so I don't know if, I don't know, maybe the texting doesn't work from Canada. See, I mean, Gian in China and Sarah in South Korea.
All email?
Emails.
Sure.
You know who we haven't heard from? That family by the South Pole that's in Trinidad.
Trinidad.
We haven't heard from them in a couple weeks.
Right.
I better check the weather. Maybe there's some type of whiteout blizzard conditions in Trinidad. Because they're close to, Antarctica. But we haven't heard from them.
No, we haven't.
We haven't heard from the kitchen counter people or Sue or Morgan Hill, California, the outlaw bikers. Where is everybody?
I don't know.
Maybe they've, I don't know.
Well, we've talked about stay in the course. So I'm going to read something here I think that'll be helpful. It says in Hebrews 12:1, Message Bible, it says, do you see what this means? And he's talking all about the faith people from chapter 11. All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Do me a favor, write your mom's phone number down on that line.
Okay, I will.
I'm going to call your mom and see if she's listening.
Okay.
Because if she's listening, she should be heads up if you're going to get a phone call here. See if she's listening or not. We got another text that says, you do not need to have Facebook to get the streaming. Just go to Jim's website and click the link.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
So if you go, that's your ministry website.
Yeah, jimhockaday.com.
And just click on Jim's Facebook page.
There you go.
Is that just saying?
Good. Okay, let me finish while you're getting ready to call.
What is that? What's that number?
1525.
That's a 2? Jeez. Write like a girl.
I do not. I write totally like a guy. You can't read it. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline in your souls. Well, this goes back to, folks, what we've been talking about the end game, the point. In other words, yeah. Someone like Job, who was willing in a 9-month
period. Woo!
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, DJ, it's me.
How are you?
I'm just fine, and I always listen. It's me sending those texts.
So it was you that said you don't need to have Facebook to get streaming, just go to Jim's website?
Yes.
And then you just sent another one that says it's mom listening?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to prove that it really is me, and I'm right here in Broken Arrow.
She doesn't know, does she? You better tell her.
Do you know you're on the air right now?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say goodbye right now.
No, you can't.
No, don't.
That was so cute. That was so cute. Oh, no. See, there's all kinds of things that I can do. But you are our first caller on the radio show.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm finding it out. I think you should have Ranger bark for me.
What do you say, Ranger? What else? How was that? Was that pretty good?
Awesome. That was perfect. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, she didn't stay for very long, did she?
Well, no, because when you said, she's on the air, I like that. She just goes, oh, no.
I better go.
Was that a dirty trick?
Well,
I don't care because I enjoyed it.
She won't mind. She'll be fine.
Well, now people have
but
heard your mom.
She won't answer your call again.
No, probably not.
No.
Now, well.
That's good. She's sending us texts.
Yeah.
Proving her point.
It shows I have broadcasting radio skills, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because you didn't even hear the phone ring. All you heard was her voice.
Kind of wondering what Sue was having for dinner tonight, but I don't think she's sharing that information.
I don't know. Maybe she went out. Oh, we got 3 emails. We better get back to business here. It says, talk some more about the difference between coming after grace but still staying out of the way.
Okay, coming after grace but still staying out of the way. Well, again, you know, it goes back to repentance and letting go. In fact, so much of what we're talking about on point tonight is letting go. And in order to find grace, okay, let's get real simple here. If you're not experiencing God, if you're not experiencing the anointing, the grace of God, then you are experiencing something else. So to get out of the way means you have to let go, letting go of the things that are important to you. Now, that may mean, just like we had in that email that was given to us, about the prostate and about some of the decisions that were made. You see, it was the whole decision for the worldly way of looking at things, which was in the way of healing. And yet how quickly healing can be immediately brought to pass because it's right there for somebody. So it's either the denial of the grace of God by turning your face toward the things of the world, or it's letting go of the things of the world that turns your face towards God. That's what embraces grace, and that's what helps to get you out of the way. But you can't care. And that's one of the biggest things I find with individuals. They're so full of the care that they can't let go.
Yep. We got an email here that says, we are listening here in Minnesota in the United States of America. Dave and Barb.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, well, see, they're back now. They were gone for a couple months.
Glad you're back. Hopefully you had a good time.
Something to do with fleeing jurisdictional boundaries. I don't know what it was.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was pretty good,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
That family. See, that's the family. See, yeah. Barb. Barb is
a daughter.
Sue. Barb and Sue. Sue in California. Tracy, California. And Barb are the daughters
of the outlaws.
Of the outlaw bikers in Morgan Hill. Grandpa
that's right.
and Grandma.
That's right.
So when I say outside the jurisdictional boundaries, that, who knows? I mean, I'm just guessing, but you know what they say, you know? The apples don't fall far from the tree. Ranger will tell you that. Did you see all the apples?
No, I didn't look tonight.
Yeah,
did you have a bunch?
You can't walk in and out of the barn without kicking or stepping on an apple. Every time she goes outside, she's bringing apples to the barn.
Yeah. Well, she's and got a routine now.
Sometimes she's eaten half of them. Sometimes they're full of teeth marks. And sometimes, I don't know how she got them here because there's no teeth marks on them. They're like perfect.
Hey, what did she have today to eat? Only people that send in texts will find out.
Only people that send in text messages know what Ranger was up to today. Maybe later on in the show. All right, folks. Now, the point... I want to talk about grace for a second. I want to bring grace because this is what the point is about. There's a lot of people that say that Adam and Eve fell from grace. That grace was taken away. That their punishment was no grace. Well, all of those things are not wrong. They're just not to the point. Because the whole point, now think about this. There's a couple that are literally 24/7 in the Garden of Eden, and they're constantly in contact with the guys. They're always together. And the punishment was work and childbirth and clothing and gardening and self-awareness and self-consciousness. For the two of them. And look at the serpent who lost its ability to walk. And not only could it not walk, it had to crawl on the ground, which meant that every movement it had to consider and think about. And also it had a new agenda to bite the heel of man and be venomous. Think of the busyness, how their entire realities were changed, and the realities that was their punishment was all about the day-to-day life of it. That their reality had been changed. That's the real essence of the punishment in Genesis, is the reality had changed. So when you talk about getting out of the way of grace, about finding grace, about recognizing grace, what you have to come to terms with is that grace is not real in the lives that we lead.
Right.
That it has nothing to do with our flesh. It has nothing to do, because think about this. What sense would it make to cut your hand off, slice your tongue off, poke your eye out, just because you're having thoughts and feelings of doing something wrong? So obviously, the point of it is that it is more than about you and what you think is real. Think of it this way. The grace that you seek and the relationship with Christ that you desire is going to be in the opposite direction.
Right, has to be.
Of what you think is important. Because when you think about this phrase, there are no limits and boundaries with God. What is your job? What is your life? Your clothing, your house, the law of the land, the rules of the road, 45 mile speed limit. You must be here at 8 o'clock and you can't leave till 5 o'clock. You have to do this to graduate high school. You have to have this money so that you can buy food and clothes and have a place to live. Those are nothing but limits, boundaries, and rules. So if you look at that phrase, there are no limits and boundaries with Christ, and you think about the Garden of Eden and the punishment of Adam and Eve, what was their punishment but nothing but limits and boundaries? The freedom of enjoying grace was replaced with the burden of the day's events and tasks at hand. We got an email here. Was that all right?
Yeah.
You like that?
That's good.
It says, Ranger Jim and BJ, listening in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Thanks for the great show. This is from Katina. We have a horse on the ranch by the name of Katina.
Huh.
She's
is it one of the Icelanders?
It's she's an Icelandic. She's the black and white paint, that real pretty
one. Okay.
She's also very expensive because she was born with a natural gait that you can't even train a horse to have. She's worth thousands and thousands of dollars because of her natural ability, the way she walks. She's got 5 speed. She's a gaited horse. But see, that's the horse that that was supposed to die. That's the horse that came out stillborn, and the mayor couldn't get the embryo sac off the horse, and I had to take the horse out of the embryo sac, and I had to clear her nostrils and her mouth, and about passed out. Remember CPR?
Yep.
I performed CPR on Katina for about 10 to 15 minutes. I was laying down next to her, covered in blood and embryo mom gravy. and finally, when I was just about ready to pass out from, you know, blowing so much air in her lungs, and all of a sudden her eyes blinked and she coughed all over my face. And the first thing she did was lick my face. And you know what's weird? Even though I don't spend more time with her than the other horse, but when she was a baby, I had to help her walk.
Right.
I taught her how to nurse, you know, because she's, you know, she's a little slow. She's a short bus kid because of, you know, lack of oxygen. And, but even this morning when I walked outside, she whinnied, pranced up to, the, you know, there's a special connection, but that's Katina. So, not to be, you know, confused.
She's got 5 gears?
Well, that's what I call it. She's a 5-gated horse.
Huh.
Pasifinos, Rocky Mountain, Icelandics.
Are they smoother?
Yeah. Yeah, they're actually back in the 1800s, the cowboy days in this country. Towns were formulated about 10 to 15 to 20 miles apart. And sheriffs, marshals, salespeople, doctors, even criminals would ride gated horses because they were so much smoother because you were in the saddle a lot. Yeah, Tennessee walkers, trotters, all kinds of that. That was a nice email from Katina. And now we've given people so much information that they have absolutely no use for.
That's all right. I enjoyed listening to that for a second.
Did you? Did you need a break? Did you take some water?
Huh? No.
Are those chips and dip you ate, are they making you sick?
No.
Because, you know.
I didn't eat that many.
Well, you ate a lot more than me because you didn't share.
Well, it's community here. You should have just...
Did I have any chips or dip?
You should have just jumped in.
Well, I couldn't because you were too busy, you know, scooping it in with both paws over there on the other side of the room. Now, you want to... we're caught up on emails and texts. You want to say something to music?
Yeah, I think so.
Did we get the point across, do you think?
I think we did. I mean, there was an email tonight that said, ouch, you know. So.
Talk about some absoluteness and harshness.
Yeah. It's good.
All right, you ready for some music?
Well, as we always do, seemingly at this point in time, I like to just ask God to continue to open your eyes, because all through Scripture, anybody that was able to do something for the Lord, their eyes were opened spiritually. so that they could see. That's what revelation does, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask you for the people listening tonight that their eyes would be opened, that these things which we've shared would become real to them, and the most important thing is you would become real to them so that they could enjoy you, they can walk with you and experience you, and therefore just literally let go of all these things of the earth that have been a confusion and that have been a problem. We thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to have an agenda except just to hang out with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what do you think about tonight?
Well, I was going to ask you, what do you think?
Well, I always enjoy the shows because I glean stuff from them. I mean, you know how much I write before we talk, you know. And
you come in here with your little notepad and pen, and you start asking me questions, and then you go crazy writing stuff every week.
And then we start writing, yep. So,
do you think that the point, quote-unquote, do you think we got that point? Do you think the point was made about the point, for lack of a confusing way to say it?
I do. I mean, tonight it became just, you know, I'm sorry to say, folks, but I mean, I go through segments where it's like, I get it, and then I get it even better, and then I get it even better. It's just like, tonight I really got it when we were just mentioning that the punishment for Adam and Eve was the busyness of life. In other words, you could say the punishment was he had an agenda.
Well, if you know,
he had a list.
Look at it this way. If you don't believe in God and you don't go to any structures or buildings and you're just an average Joe Schmo, and someone was to come up to you and tell you that the first people made God mad and insulted him and went against his wishes and they punished him, and they would say, well, okay, what's the punishment that God did? And then he'd say, well, the man has to work for a living and work his whole life and provide. He's got to worry about his appearance and the clothes that he wears. And his woman, childbirth is going to be painful. And she's going to have menstrual pains when she cycles. And she's going to worry about her appearance and clothes.
Right.
And she's going to have to work and tend to her family and her man. And the serpent, he's going to crawl around on the ground and bite the heel of man. Someone who has no idea or could care less if there is such a thing as God. They would literally, their first response would say, so it really wasn't that bad. They didn't get punished.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can you say Adam and Eve didn't get punished? Well, because it sounds like all they have to do is what everybody has to do their whole lives.
Right. What's normal to everybody.
What's normal. I mean, sounds like life to me.
Right.
He didn't yell at him. He didn't strike him with a bolt of lightning.
I mean, nothing really bad happened.
And then you'd have to take it a step farther, and you'd have to say, well, before... And see, that's where you'd lose them.
Right.
So for those of us, you, me, Ranger, your mom, and everybody that's listening, for us, take what I'm saying and apply that to your life and see that even some of the things in our lives that are pleasant, that seem harmless,
right,
that we nurture and that we protect, are quite frankly part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Well,
I like it.
Do you?
That's on point.
Do you have anything to comment on that?
No. No, it's good. I think we got the point across. And I'm just glad. I really got something out of it, folks. And I just think, as a summary here for me, really readjusting priorities is really key. The very fact that there are priorities in life pretty much means that we're doing life wrong. The fact that God is number one, and he's really who gets all of our attention, that's where things begin to work. So it's a good night.
It'll take me about 10 or 15 minutes
okay.
to get tonight's show recorded and then uploaded, and it'll stream 24/7. Don't forget the archives. Take care of yourselves and your pets. There's my dog, Ranger. And remember, dog spelled backwards. Good night, everybody.
Good night.